Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards with the NCL. Sitting to my right, Ed Maher with the NCL. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you. Yeah, I missed you guys. Phil Davidson with the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
I was in the beautiful, beautiful state of Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
It's not a state. It's also a city.
Yeah,
I know that.
I caught that.
I got it. Spent some time out there with my son. That was super fun. I was out there to drop off a car for him. I'll tell you this. I bought a new car. We're going down to a one-car family.
Yeah.
And so I bought one from Carvana. And I bought a Jeep Grand Cherokee this time as opposed to a Cherokee. So I've moved up.
Whoa.
2024.
You could say things are going pretty well for Ken Edwards.
Yeah.
But I made sure, if you remember when we talked to the UAW guys, they said you got to look at the VIN number. And if it starts with this, you could tell that Jeep is made right there in Belvedere.
Okay.
So did that.
You got a Belvedere?
Yeah, of course.
Nice.
And then just a quick shout out to our credit union. The rate that Carvana gave me was 7%. The rate that the credit union gave me was 5%, I think, and change.
That's, so you could just refinance and save money?
Immediately.
Awesome.
That's 2 points.
Sweet.
That's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
So if you haven't joined the credit union, go join the credit union.
That's MCL Credit Union out in Countryside.
Yeah, absolutely. 708-482-9606.
5 year term?
5 years, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you calculate what you'll save over that?
Millions and millions and millions of dollars, Phil.
I believe it.
Yeah. That's what's going on in my
Ken's
life.
Story of saving money.
But here, you guys had a PSA last week, right?
About
driving safely, and sure enough, what happened again?
Yeah.
Another tollway?
Yeah, we were talking about Stephen Cornett, a downstate highway worker, 65 years old, who was killed working on the highway. And then, you know, in the same breath, just as the show was coming on, a tollway worker, 52 years old, named Calvin Holly, was hit by a driver in a work zone as he was filling potholes on 294 out in Des Plaines. Now, this car hit three people, and one of them passed away. Two of them did not. But just the other day, this driver was charged, finally, with felony DUI.
I hope it's
vehicular manslaughter.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he gets manslaughter.
There's going to be a lot going into this because I know that I think everybody on the roads knows that if you speed through a work zone, they don't take it easy on you. They're making examples.
They should. Fines, double, triple. Yeah,
right.
They should.
I'm all for it because these are people that, you know, they do this work overnight. So you're working in the middle of the night because that's when the roads are sort of empty and you can do this stuff. And if there's drunks out there that are not paying attention, not caring, you gotta make an example of this because these people need to be able to go home
from
work.
It's not like there's no warning that there's construction going on, right? I mean, you know, Illinois has it pretty down pat. I think as do most municipal large urban areas, which is you got a flag or you got a truck, you got
a lot of
light boards.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got everything going on to make sure that
digital
these workers
signs
are safe, and yet you know some idiot's going to kill them anyway. So we had that, and then we unfortunately had another one of our members pass away, a dispatcher from MAP, Metropolitan Alliance of Police.
Okay.
So she was on her way home, worked like the late shift. She was in her 20s, young woman, and some people were like, I think they were racing on the highway and hit her and killed her.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was just terrible.
I'll be honest with you.
What's her name, Ed?
That was Melissa Prosser, 26 years old. But
unbelievable.
If you ever drive out on the Eisenhower on a weekend on 290.
Yeah, people go crazy.
Anytime after like 11 p.m., it's insane.
Yeah.
Like there's no safe lane to be in. It's the only time that I'm driving like the speed limit and both hands on the wheel because I'm terrified.
So we got a lot to get to today. We have a story about Uber and Lyft, both in Massachusetts and right here in Illinois. We're going to talk about Major League Baseball Players Association and what's going on with them. We got a UAW strike. What else we got? We got a ton of stuff.
We do.
We got the government is here to help unions. We're from the government. We're here to help.
Exactly. I got a bridge to sell you also.
All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. So, we talked about Uber and Lyft. And I think those are the only two players in the game, right?
I think so. I'm not really aware of
anybody
else.
I always hear of some startup elsewhere, but...
It is. I heard yesterday, actually, Uber has 87% market share.
Got it.
And Lyft has 13, and the other ones have like 0.001.
Yeah, like so the leftover five taxi cabs that are in Chicago.
Gold Star rideshare. Exactly. Only takes 45 minutes.
But I can't believe Uber's at... I thought Lyft had a little bit more.
I thought so, too.
But I think at one point they did, but they're just hemorrhaging.
And I've been using Lyft a lot more.
Have you?
Well, I found out that Uber uses dynamic pricing, so if you... If you just like quickly accept whatever rate they give you, the rates will always be higher. Because I've tried this with friends where my rates for an Uber from the same spot to the same spot were higher. And they're like, just instead of taking that ride with Uber, open up Lyft and take that. Because if you ask for a rate and then don't take the ride, it'll ultimately see that you aren't willing to pay. And this is actually a real thing. So
and it'll readjust?
So over time, you'll stop getting sort of like they'll not assume that you're just willing to pay whatever.
Hey, Phil.
Interesting.
Ed saved 16 cents.
Way to go.
Hey, man.
So you know what? Ed, I got to give you credit for that. Congratulations.
Hey, yeah. These are tough times we're living in. Though I will say this war in Iran is helping my car a lot because my car only used to hold like $60 worth of gas. Now it holds $100 worth of gas.
What, did your gas tank get bigger?
No, it's just...
cool is that?
It's awesome.
I didn't know they make expanding gas tanks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 16 cents would get me enough gas to drive over and smack you, Ken.
Good one. Bring it on, Ed.
I'm not going to.
Boys.
All right,
please.
So listen. So Uber and Lyft, right? Couple of things. First of all, in Illinois, the bill has passed both the House and Senate to allow Uber and Lyft drivers to organize. Form an association, not just, you know, do some mamby-pamby things, but to actually organize a union that will be under the auspices, not of the National Labor Relations Board, which is a good thing.
Right.
Given the fact that they're about to get Mr. Macy, who's the 40-year management attorney, to join.
Well, I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah,
they're putting one more fox in the hen house.
Yeah, and so, it's going to be the Illinois Labor Relations Board, which is really cool. And that's going to oversee the collective bargaining and the whole process and the card check and, you know, I shouldn't say card check. I think it's actually a vote, things like that. But in Massachusetts, they did it, and they got their first union.
Yeah.
And they got the card signed, and they got a union. And the union, I forget what it's called. It's got a name, but it's basically a mix of SEIU and the Machinists. And so That's Massachusetts, yep.
Similar in Illinois as well.
In Illinois, right, there were three unions pushing this.
Yeah.
Right? It was the Operating Engineers 150, IAM, the Machinists, and SEIU. IAM and SEIU have joined together to form, I think, the same thing that they did in Mass. And then, of course, here's Local 150 on its own island that is going to, you know, try and do this as well. So there's going to be some competition here in the great state of Illinois. And you know what? Competition's a good thing because it makes unions work harder. And I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. If the unions are competing with each other, it will ultimately only result in better representation, more for the workers.
I think that's 100% right. So more to come on that. The governor hasn't signed it yet.
It's kind of interesting how the unionization will work. So the first step is going to be they need signatures from 10% of active drivers.
But it's 10% of drivers that work a certain amount of hours.
That have a certain amount of hours driving or a certain amount of rides every month.
Because I would just join an Uber and drive for 1 hour, and then I would sign a card.
Then you're in.
For Local 150, for the record.
And how many drivers is it? Do you
remember? It's 100,000 statewide, 70,000 in the greater Chicago.
In Chicago, got it.
But I mean, listen, right? Let's assume it passes in California as well. And it's going to start now to move into other states. Now, you're adding real numbers to the labor movement.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
And so, you know, usually you have to get 30% cards, Phil, I think is where you were going with this. Here in the state of Illinois, you're going to have to get 10%.
Yeah.
10% of the median average of a driver that drives whatever it is, at 200 hours a month or something
like that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not folks that just do it once or twice on the weekend.
Right.
You know, it's just a way to supplement a little bit of income. These are like full-time workers is kind of what they're going
after. So I'm
going to
take an Uber one block. One block at a time.
There you go.
For every block in Chicago, and I'm going to get 10,000 cards signed.
Get your card yourself, yeah. What, I think it'll benefit everyone. And yeah, maybe this will be the first time in a long time where we might see total union representation across the country moving an uptick.
Again.
You know, every year we're seeing just...
No, last year it moved up.
Did it?
Yeah, last year
it
moved up.
I thought it was like more, there's more union workers, but still the percentage, because the population continues to grow, is dropping slightly. It always hovers right around 10%.
Yeah.
But maybe this will give us a...
Well, you know what? We're going to talk about something in that regard in a minute as well. But here's the thing. This is what I find fascinating, right?
Yeah.
Uber drivers, Lyft drivers... You know, they are controlled by Uber and Lyft. They can shut off their app at any time. Mm-hmm. They got to do this. You got to do that. You know, blah, 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 blah. You would think basically that they're misclassified and they should be employees. Mm-hmm. Guess who does not want to be an employee of Uber and Lyft? Uber and Lyft drivers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not kidding.
Yeah.
They don't want to be employees.
Right.
And so this bill doesn't make them employees.
Yeah.
It just gives them the right to organize.
Yes.
And I mean, what you're saying, Ken, though, about the way that they can be disciplined with no due process whatsoever, that's one of the big reasons that these drivers wanted to do something, because you can have some drunk in your car at 2 o'clock on a Saturday and they think, you know, you woke them up to get out of the car or something, and they give you one star, and all of a sudden you can't make a living for a few days because Uber, you know, knocks you out of the app. So
his name is Ed Maher.
Let's just call this passenger Ed, and he's very sleepy because he's exhausted from drinking all day
and eating a Philly cheesesteak.
he's got Wit Whiz on his on his shirt.
But also along those same. So anyway, so assuming the governor signs the bill. Then there's an on ramp, and it starts, I think 30 to 60 days after that, cards can get signed. I think unions have already started to get cards signed, but I think those cards go away and we have to start afresh.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
But look, this is a big deal. And this is quite frankly, the things that unions should be doing.
It's an experiment, right? You know, it's something new.
Yeah. Which is exactly what the National Coalition of Labor is. It was an experiment, something new. And, you know, we were at a meeting the other day, and one of our vendors, the great Voya Financial that does our life insurance, they put up a statistic on the screen. I didn't even know this, Ed. We brought on 50-some-odd unions just in 2025.
Yeah.
50. It's a lot, right? It's just you and me.
I know.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Most of those were mine.
And now we will have...
Wrong.
We will have... organization and foot soldiers against Waymo.
So Waymo, I guess that got shot down, right?
Yeah, it's it. But you know they're going to keep coming back.
There's no question.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've been talking about that Waymo bill for a few months. Probably six months.
It died.
Right.
The bill don't think it was... Yeah, they didn't vote on it, I don't believe.
It never got a vote, so it didn't pass.
But I think you're right, though, Phil, because if you have a Uber and Lyft driver union, they're going to like, hey, let's protect our jurisdiction,
right?
And I think, look, if you're Instacart, you should do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, get a... an Instacart union, right? Have some unions represent them, because get rid of these little stupid robots that I see all over the city, right? Because those are taking jobs.
Mm-hmm. I keep telling you, Ken, just flip it over when you see it. Just flip it over.
Ed, you know what my defense is? Ed told me to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I haven't seen as many. I know, like, Wrigleyville, you see them every once in a while if I'm ever going to a Cubs game, but I don't see them in a lot of neighborhoods.
I saw a lot in Florida. I was there for spring break around Miami, and I saw those things everywhere.
Oh,
and
of course in Miami,
I did flip one over.
Did you?
The people that I was with were shocked. I was like, oh, I thought this was just what people would do.
You were protecting
jobs. Apparently it's just me.
You did flip it over?
I did flip it over.
Yeah, congratulations, Ed.
Yeah.
You just admitted to a crime on the air, but whatever.
Yeah, good luck locating it. I flipped it over into the Gulf of America.
All right. So anyway, so that's more to come on that. Here's something I also found interesting is the Major League Baseball Players Association, right? The MLBPA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do they do? They shot down a salary cap for baseball teams.
That is anathema to them.
Baseball teams don't have salary caps, right? Unlike football teams.
The only league that doesn't have salary caps.
And they're also RICO exempt and antitrust exempt or whatever it is that their magic exemption exists. But they shot it down, and I guess the MLB, Major League Baseball, is talking about locking them out next year.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The commissioner said it's inevitable at this point.
So what's going to happen then? Is there going to be scabs? Because don't you remember the year they locked out the NFL players? Right? And there were scabs. Scabs played.
I think that's where
football.
Doug Flutie came from.
He came from Canada, I thought. But he played. He scabbed?
I thought. You know what? I'm not going to say they did it because I might have that wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
From the USFL?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Didn't Trump own a USFL team?
Yeah.
Wow, did he go bankrupt?
Shocking.
No, I think he was one of the investors in the league itself. Mm. Yeah.
Oh.
That's probably why it didn't work out.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, the ask the people in Montreal, they still, there's a good documentary about it. I think it was on Netflix recently about the 94 strike.
Right.
And they were the best team in baseball by a long shot.
And it crushed their season.
Next thing you know, they didn't have a team anymore. They had to sell them. You know, the owners picked up stakes and sold. So.
You know a lot about Montreal, Phil.
I love Montreal.
I know you do.
But here's the thing, Phil, right? So let's say there's a lockout. All right. That has an enormous, and I mean enormous, trickle down effect on the state of the economy. Because everybody that works in concessions, everybody that works at the stadium, that sells gear, that delivers, you know, beer, et cetera, is not going to have a job.
Right.
Right. Or at least they're not going to be working while that lockout goes. So you would hope that the Players Association, perhaps, maybe for the first time, gets together with some of the Teamster unions and Unite Here and the concession workers and goes like, man, how do we attack this together, maybe for the first time ever? Because when there's a strike, we've said this in the past, I'll say it again, when there's a strike, you know,
they have a bully pulpit.
Well, they have a bully pulpit, and they don't have to cross a picket line. Or maybe they do, you know, I think in a lot of these players association contracts, they actually do have to cross the picket line. But, you know, they won't, I don't know, they'll change hotels or do things like that to quasi-help. But maybe now's the time to say, hey, listen, you get locked out. Maybe all the players associations, meaning the NFL and, you know, the NBA and everybody just gets together along with anybody that's tangential to sports,
the local economies.
And go, hey, let's all do this thing together. What do you all think? You promised not to cross our picket line. We won't cross your picket line. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Workers of the world unite.
Well, these sports workers are right there. Look, it's what the building trades do. Yeah. Like, we all get together and we'll argue at times, but we all push the same direction for things like data centers, which we'll talk about in a second, you know, solar, you know, just things that matter to us. Right, we can put our differences aside. We don't have to be the same trade. Obviously, we're not, and we all get together and we do that. So why can't the sports in that world get together and say, like, "Hey, let's figure this out." Yeah. So more to come on that. We'll see what happens with the players.
The players have some good counter proposals that we can maybe talk about another time about what they want to do to fight against the salary cap. But
is that right?
Yeah,
maybe we'll have one on.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Baseball player?
Yeah, let's get a baseball player on.
I know one thing they said was, like, all teams should have a minimum salary level. You know, you have so many teams that are just, their team salary is like $30 million against the Dodgers is just $300 million. Mm-hmm. And because these
or like the White Sox,
these
like,
small market teams,
$3,000.
But they're still making a lot of money. They're just not spending it on the team. So they're saying, like, no, there has to be a minimum level of what you're going to spend and for your team's salary. And then there was talk of rewarding the small market teams who actually have success in the postseason.
Like it.
Yeah, and give them bonus from
like it.
The revenue sharing.
It's not like they're not making the money.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
So, anyway. All right. Listen, we'll take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with a ton more news in the labor/employment world. Right here on the Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Workers' Mic. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. We got a bunch to get to. Let's start with the National Labor Relations Board. We talk about it all the time. Apparently, they are going to confirm because there's no question in my mind that they're not. Some guy named something or other Macy. And
James
Macy, and he was William a H. 40 yeah, he was a 40-year management side attorney, and they're already saying that as soon as we have that the Republican majority back, we're going to get rid of, I think we talked about the CMEX case and this, that, and the other thing. It has become, it used to be like, we don't really talk about it, we just sort of like, you know that here's how the lay of the land is. Now it's just pure partisan. We want more Republicans on. We're going to undo everything that the, you know, the Dems did. Dems come back. We're going to undo everything that the Republicans did. So here we go.
The seesaw continues.
But you know what else is going on with the MLB itself?
Will he fulfill a quorum now?
I think that's right, yes.
They've been working without a quorum forever, and it didn't seem like it was a priority to them. But then recently a couple of decisions have come out that were sort of for workers based on some of the Biden-era rules. So they came out and said, well, we're going to confirm someone and change this. And it's like, you're not supposed to say that.
Yeah, God forbid you should have rulings that come out pro- worker. I mean, how dare you?
Why would you do that?
How dare you?
Well, it's one of those
why
where
would
they're
you want to help working people.
They're just, this is what we want to have happen, and you guys just find a case and write it up and make it happen. But they're telling you the end of the story first.
Yeah, yes. They really are. So the NLRB itself, though, is saying, hey, listen, you cut our funding by, you know, $50, $100 million or whatever the number was. I think it's like $50, $70 million.
Yeah.
And we can't function without that. Or can function effectively, right? So we need more money. Now, because we don't have a quorum, or because it was, you know, Biden left over, they weren't funding it properly. You can bet your bottom dollar that the minute the Republicans have the majority and a quorum, they will magically find the money.
I bet they do.
Right? Maybe they'll sell the UFC tent in front of the White House.
Oh, my God.
You mean the thing that's going to be permanent? Trump literally talked about making it permanent.
I think he was clearly trolling. You know, it was funny to see like ABC News bit it, and they're like, he's gonna leave it there forever. It's like, I think he's just
messing with you. What's the deal with the arch too? He wants to build an arch that they say could be a flight hazard. Did you see that?
He's gonna block out the
just like the pool.
Lincoln Memorial,
and the pool's going so well. Like, he hired a non-union painter that can't do it right.
Taller than the Empire State Building. Apparently.
All the statues on the bridges in Arlington, he's gonna have recovered with gold, because everybody loves gold, as you know. It's like Goldfinger.
Good one. So there's that. And then, speaking of the government, right? This is the greatest line in the world. And it was the United States Department of Labor says, they put out a press release and says, United States Department of Labor passes regulations to help union workers. Wow.
That's very vague.
It's like, what could that be? Like, wait a second. You're saying that under a Trump administration, the Department of Labor, which, as we know, has had its share of scandals recently.
Allegedly wasted secretaries.
Is going to help union workers. Like, cool.
The same administration that tore up contract after contract of union workers is now all about the union workers.
So anyway, I read it, and sure enough, it is makes unions have to now report much more onerously than they did under the Biden administration. And while corporations can skirt paying taxes and offshore all their profits and incorporate in Malaysia, unions have to disclose the fact that a secretary bought a new pen.
Yes.
I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm joking, kind of.
Workers rejoice.
Yeah, so thank God. And, of course, it's like, you know, worker transparency and, you know, there's a union transparency good for workers and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, it's not. It's just making things more difficult for unions. Why? So you can trip them up, right, for unions that don't have the resources, the acumen, the accountants and the actuaries, and, you know, the big boys have staff, right? And we didn't file that report, so you can jam up the unions and fine them.
This seems like a direct attack at the teachers' unions, right?
Well, teachers are public sector, so they don't fall under these LM reporting requirements.
They still
for the
have
most
to report,
part.
Though, right?
State by state.
Wasn't that the big fight that he had, though, with CTU? Because remember, he was trying to audit them.
Who?
Trump.
I could have.
I think it was something with political spending.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that. But I mean, what you're talking about has been going on for a little while. Back when George W. Bush was president, they passed some enhanced reporting requirements. Right. Where, and this is no joke to listeners, this I think exists almost exclusively in union world. But if somebody buys you lunch, if you're employed at a union, like you're an organizer, you're a secretary, you're an officer, whatever, and somebody buys you lunch and it's worth more than $25,
yep,
and you don't file a form to the federal government saying that you accepted a gift,
yes,
you can go to jail for that.
Correct.
And it happens.
Yes.
Like if somebody invites you to a baseball game and you go and you don't file, you can go to jail for that. Making it even worse.
And simultaneously, if you file, right,
you have now
reported that you accepted a gift from, let's say you're going to lunch with a, you know, management attorney or whatever, or a contractor, you've now reported that you just accepted money from a contractor.
Right.
Right? Which in some cases can be a crime itself.
Yeah.
So it is just, it's just
meanwhile, like Purdue Pharma is taking every doctor with a prescription pad to St. Bart's for the summer to, you know, have a 5-minute meeting about their new painkillers.
Yes.
Wait a second. Can I go?
I mean, I'm looking to learn about painkillers.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you so much, Department of Labor. I really appreciate these.
What are they helping
rules.
Workers do?
Not much. But, you know, so here now.
CFOs at unions across the country are just, oh, no, please.
I know.
I was told, like, it was what was once a relatively manageable form is now going to be 30, 40
Well, this
pages.
Is the administration that's like, no regulations.
Right,
we want no regulations.
Except for when it comes to workers,
yes.
Unions, and things that we don't like. We want to over... Phil, I read the rules. I shouldn't say I read the rules. I didn't read the rules.
Okay.
I clicked on the rules.
Okay.
And when I saw it was 398 pages, I decided not to read the rules. Can you imagine? Like, here's your new rules, everybody. It's only 400 pages.
If there's 400 pages of rules, it's not going to be good.
No. So anyway, so we got that. But then, weirdly enough, simultaneously, we have the Faster Labor Relations Act.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called? Faster Contracts... fast
the
contracts,
Josh Hawley
labor,
bill?
The Hawley Booker bill, basically,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, people signing on to it, and they did that discharge position petition. So that should be voted on in June. The smart money says it's going to pass the House. Medium,
Senate.
The House. The medium says the Senate. Senate probably not, because it has to get filibuster passed, but. That should happen pretty soon. So
okay.
We're keeping an eye on that. So it's just a weird thing, right? Right. On one hand, here's the Department of Labor going after unions. On another hand, here's, you know, Josh Hawley and is Cory Booker? Is that his
Cory
name?
Cory Booker.
Yeah.
Cory Booker, you know, proposing a bill that helps unions get to a contract faster. Right?
And there's about a dozen Republicans that are signed on as co-sponsors.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So it's a great opportunity for unions to find out, again, who's actually with them and who's not.
I think that's
right. Because everyone's going to have to take a vote.
And this is the biggest, in my opinion, the biggest labor bill that has made it this far since the PRO Act, which didn't go anywhere, right?
Anywhere.
And before that, the Employee Free Choice Act, et cetera. This is the biggest one, and it's a really, really big deal. It will help nascent unions like Starbucks and things like that.
It provides actual teeth, which we complain about.
That's what you need.
The show began. Yeah.
You need teeth.
Yes.
You do need some teeth.
Anyway, so we got that. And then in other kind of like, I don't even know what you would call this, esoteric union news, there's a new organization.
That's what we need.
Well, we might actually need it. I don't know. The jury's out, if you will. But there is a new organization that was just formed this month that had this, you know, big announcement out of New York City, and it's called Union Now. All right?
Okay.
It's not the AFL-CIO. It's not the Change to Win organization. It's not... It's just
like any
brand,
of the worker centers. Or anything
it's just a brand new organization that is going to be funded, I think, by contributions, individual contributions, hopefully unions.
Is it a coalition?
It sounds like it.
It does, but it's unclear so far as to who's actually a part of it. I know the flight attendant, Sarah Nelson, was a big proponent of it, and I got up there and spoke, and so did Bernie Sanders. But it is to help workers get into unions, help the unions fight for their first contracts, and in my humble opinion, if I'm reading it right, do what the AFL is supposed to have been doing this entire time. And the AFL, of course, can't go, we don't want you to do that. That's our job, right? So they had to come out and go, yeah, we support this thing too.
Behind the scenes, though, they were saying exactly that probably.
Well, we'll see how much money they give him, you know? But look, I'm all for it. I think that the labor movement needs something like this, right? Union now. It's a great name. If it's aggressive, if they try different things, Ed, like we talked about, you know, go out and just, you know, I don't know, do what you got to do to help workers organize, to help workers, you know, get some wins under their belt. I'm all for it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to run for president of it.
Got my vote.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I mean, the bureaucracy of the AFL-CIO it's like turning a battleship, right?
Yeah, and that's right.
You need to be small. You need to be nimble. And the AFL-CIO just kind of has proven that it hasn't been able to do that.
Yeah, I think that's right. So
yeah, and there really needs to be more focus on how do you get to the contract.
There's no question about it. Let's stop giving the Democrats money. Everybody's good at that. Let's just find out. Get to a contract.
Yes.
You know, get representation. I've always said this, and everybody knows this. Winning the union election is the easy part.
Exactly.
Getting the contract's the hard part. Right.
And there's been too much celebrating the union elections everywhere.
Yeah, look, we won.
Amazon people, there's no contract. So
you keep listen. Every time I get on social media, it's like brand new Starbucks. We're up to 700 stores out of 9,000. We're up to 900 stores out of 9,000.
We're up to zero contracts.
We're up to zero contracts. Right. We're Amazon. We're up to zero contracts. You know, Chipotle. So maybe there's an organization like this that can help, you know, push, and you know, I'm rooting for it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always rooting for it.
Once I find out what it is, I'm rooting for it.
Look, I got on the website, Phil. It's even smaller than our website. It's just
small,
like,
nimble.
It's nimble.
Just like we want, yeah.
So we have that. We did talk about. We talked about, you know, dangerous jobs. Do you know what the state that has the most dog bites are for postal workers?
Illinois?
No, which is why I've been bringing it up, Phil. It's California.
I would have guessed that.
And then it's Texas.
Warm weather states.
And then it's like Colorado of all places. So I'm like,
a lot of dogs in Colorado.
Is that right?
Yeah, a lot of people have dogs in Colorado.
I'm like, come on, Chicago, let's get our stuff together.
Let's get these dogs riled up.
We have the most unreported dog bites.
We have just very athletic, you know, postal workers.
Our postal workers are fast.
Well, they're hopping fences. They're dodging those dogs.
I'm kidding. I don't want to see postal workers get bit. No. But I will tell you somebody else that got bit. Workers in a zoo in Indiana got attacked by a wolf.
What?
Yes.
Is this one of those side of the highway like zoos? Adventure park.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like Joe Safari or Joe Exotic.
Oh, Joe Exotic, right. Like a pen hunting ground, yeah.
Pet the alligator.
Yeah. Welcome to the Indianapolis's only tiger enclosure.
No, I don't mean to laugh. It was a wolf. I guess wolves run in packs, right? This wolf, they had a pair of wolves. One of the wolves passed away, and they call them zookeepers on the news.
Boo.
But we know we're not supposed to call them zookeepers, right? And I also think, to be blunt with you, that if they were 727 members of the Teamsters, this would not have happened because they would have had safeguards in place. But somebody got attacked by one of the wolves.
Right.
Not dead, but attacked. So.
So there's a wolf exhibit at the zoo?
Well, there was a wolves exhibit at the zoo. Now there's a wolf exhibit at the zoo. And I guess probably...
The wolf got rid of his roommate, and now he's going on to the zookeepers.
I guess.
Sooner or later, he's trying to get out on that highway.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants to get back and run free, so...
Who can blame him?
Those are my animal attacks of the week.
Wolves probably aren't too happy in the zoo.
I don't think any animal's too happy in the zoo.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
They're in the zoo.
Fish might not mind.
Maybe those bears in Russia that smoke cigarettes. I mean, at least they get some cigarettes. They probably have to pay for them out of their checks or I don't know what.
All right, listen. So we got to take a quick break. We will come back. We have a shout out, a special shout out, a big time supporter. We have some sad news for the state of Illinois, but good news for the state of California. So we'll be right back with more of the Workers Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Workers' Mic on 720 WGN. Phil Davidson here with Ken Edwards, Ed Maher. We've got a few minutes left in the show, and I think we want to give a special shout-out to a friend of the show.
Absolutely. And so it is the Director of Communications for the Illinois AFL-CIO. Her name is Alyssa Goodstein, and she has been just a wealth of information for the show. For those of you, obviously, you wouldn't know this, but if you are on this list, every single day she sends out a list of local stories, nationwide stories, international stories, political stories, things that affect workers.
Yes.
And it is just really, really well done.
It's a great database.
I hope that continues.
Yes. But you listening, Tim? Make sure that's
on. Yeah. Yeah. So so you know, and the Illinois AFL-CIO, you know, my beef with the regular nationwide, the Illinois AFL is completely different. They're just fantastic. And so she was a big part of that. We wish her well. She's moving back to her home state in California, California, and I believe she's going to be working with the building trades out in California.
The Climate Jobs Coalition, yep. Something like that.
Yep. Yeah. So kudos to her.
She's dedicated, true unionist.
Yep.
Thank you, Alyssa, for everything.
Yeah, thank you so much for everything that you've done. And maybe before you leave, you could just take care of this Bears situation for us.
Yes.
Right? Somebody's got to do something.
So the Bears, I guess, announced on Friday that they were, you know,
moving forward with the site selection committee in Indiana.
Yeah. Number one, bad for Illinois and Chicago economy for the Bears to move. Number two, good for worker bees, right? Because they're going to build a brand new stadium from the ground up.
Yep.
And I think, as Ed mentioned, you would literally have to widen some roads to get to and from
Hammond, Indiana. Build transit roads. Options.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's no, look, getting from Hammond to Illinois or vice versa on a good day takes an hour and a half. But you know what? I mean, this is now up to them. And you know, we got a moratorium, I guess, from the governors, you know, and this is pivoting a little bit, but talk about, you know, public-private partnerships and tax breaks and incentives and things like that. There's a lot of moving parts that go into this. But in Illinois, we just got a moratorium on data centers.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Like, no more data centers until the governor and the legislature can figure out, like, you know, what does energy look like? What does natural resources look like? You know, where the worker bee is going to come from, et cetera, et cetera. Things that I don't necessarily disagree with, but maybe they should have been thinking about that quite some time ago.
Well, that was a moratorium on the tax incentives for them, right?
Yeah, so
and it didn't pass this session.
Well, no, I think the governor issued, an executive order against it, but he instructed the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity to stop processing any sort of tax incentives for data centers while they're continuing to, you know, try to come up with some level of, like, state regulation on this stuff.
But here.
But I think there was also a bill that did not get called.
Okay.
Yeah, but
he signed it.
Yeah.
And it in effect puts the kibosh on new data centers coming into town. The building of them is my understanding, and I will tell you this, hurry up and figure it out, right? Don't do what you did with people that, and this wasn't the state, I guess it was
sure
the
it
state.
Sure was, yeah, it was the Commerce
the Commerce Commission with People's Gas that was like, we got to study this for a year and a half, and then come back and go, yeah, you know what, let's start this again.
Yeah,
right?
It's just going to be way more expensive.
So in the coming weeks, we're thinking about having a, I don't know what you would call it, like a special Workers' Mic show about data centers and building them, and is it good, is it bad, are we building our own demise, is it good for the environment, is it bad for the environment, is it good for workers, is it bad for workers, you know, things like that. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it, but I think that's going to be interesting. So more to come on that. We'll report more on that next week, but I think we'll probably have a panel discussion on that pretty soon.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea because there are people on both sides of this. The kinds of agreements that are being made have changed over the, you know, past year or two. So I think folks who see this stuff in the news, it's just important to understand, like, what all of it is about, what criticism is valid, what might be overblown. You know, I think we all have a lot to learn about this, but it's such a big market that behooves us to get some facts.
Yeah, and let's get everybody on the same page, if possible, right? And if it takes, like, building more infrastructure for energy, great, build it. If it takes building more infrastructure for, you know, solar, whatever it takes, let's make it happen, right? Yeah. And the end result, of course, is that we're just building these data centers for AI that can take our jobs anyway.
Oh.
Or some of them.
We don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. We'll worry about that later, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll kick the can down the road. All right, listen, it's great to talk to everybody. Great to see the both of you guys together again. That's nice, and like when all three of us are here. And
right back at you.
Yeah, we will be back with more of the Workers' Mic next week, right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNradio.com.